Hey there, rugby fans. Welcome to another great episode here on the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. My name is Ty Braga, the host for today's activities here on the Run, Pass, or Kick interview alongside my colleague, Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, with Scott Ferrara in the background producing the show. But more importantly, we have to introduce the man of the moment. That, of course, is Taylor Howden from the Sabercats. Taylor, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here and ready to run past or kick a few questions.
Excellent. We like the sound of that. But before we jump into the run, pass, or kick format, we have to be able to hand it over to Rob Hammerschmidt and let you know how it all works.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that. But Taylor, I got to say, you and I guess, got the memo, right? Because we're both sporting the Sabercats gear, right? You got something from the Sabercats there, sporting Aviva. And Ty, you're wearing something totally different. What happened?
So obviously I was late to the wardrobe meeting, but this one's a special one nevertheless that deserves some recognition. Of course, you know, it's important to salute the troops, important for Shop MLR to make sure that they're recognizing all of those important members of society. And they're doing so by branding a lot of the MLR team merch, of course, with the camo colors. And it's a little bit of a way to be able to draw attention and give back. And you can find it for your team, as well as, of course, I'm sporting the one for the Seattle Seawolves here. But likewise, you find one for you. And I'm sure, of course, for the Sabercats fans out there. So go and check out shopmlr.com, where you can find all the merch you need as a fan in Major League Rugby. So again, thanks to the guys at Powered by therugbyshop.com, that's shopmlr.com.
So I'm just going to touch upon how the run, pass, or kick interview style works. It's simply like this for fans that are uninitiated. Basically, Ty and I are going to throw questions at Taylor here. We're going to prompt each question with run, pass, or kick. So like any good back, Taylor has some options. And option one is he can go ahead and run with the question. He'll just let us know that he's going to run with it. And he's going to answer it straight up. Or Taylor could pass a question, which is simply going to say it's a little hot topic. He wants to pass it off and not answer the question. Or he could kick the question, which is to say he's going to go ahead and have a little fun with us, put us on the back foot, put us on the defensive, and we're going to answer on his behalf, in which case we have to say the answer that we think Taylor would have given, and then he can grade us out, and we know he has some coaching background, so he can tell us we were good, we can tell us we were shite, he can give us some pointers, he can even, you know, help us out a little bit. So that's the interview style. Taylor, are you ready for the run, pass, or kick challenge?
I'm ready, Rob. Bring it on.
All right. Well, as many of the watchers know, I'm an internet troll, a Facebook troll, social media troll. And, you know, it was a little bit tough with you, but I came up with a good one because as I was searching Taylor Howden, just to get the, you know, to get the underbelly, the tough underbelly of who you are and what you're all about, as soon as I typed in Taylor, another Taylor came up on my Google search. Immediately, it was Taylor Swift. And I was, you know, shocked at first. And so my question to you is run, pass, or kick. Do you wish it was reversed? When her fans type Taylor in Google, do you wish the first thing that popped up was Taylor Howden?
Yeah, I'll run with that one. yeah, absolutely. I reckon rugby would skyrocket in America if that was the case. But I don't know, she produces some pretty good music. So,
yeah, are you musical?
Am I musical? I don't think I'm musical, but you know, it'd be nice to be able to have a few people searching up Taylor and Taylor Swift, and then getting this ugly mug in the images. But
yeah, I think
don't sell yourself short, mate.
Yeah, I think next week we need to tweak that question just out of curiosity, Rob, or a little bit of a funny tweak the question. If we had to search the name Taylor Howden, what dirt would we find? Straight away. First question up, boom, batted out of the park. Well, let's jump back into a little bit more about you, Taylor. Now, obviously, you come with a rich rugby background, and I wanted to touch on a few of those highlights. And, of course, it's a long history in rugby because you originally, of course, are from Auckland, New Zealand. So it's almost as if it's the rugby game has been following you your whole life. I'm sure you feel that by being a Kiwi native. But more importantly, your experience here in the U.S., if we dive into that, You got Beaumont Shaw on your CV, Denver Barbarians, Tiger Rugby, Ohio Aviators, NOLA Gold, Sabercats, of course, where you find yourself now. But more interestingly, you also find yourself in a youth development role, which I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to learn more about during the course of this interview. But here lies the important question at hand. Run, pass, or kick, my friend. You are originally from Auckland, New Zealand, as I mentioned before. So how did you come to be playing rugby in the United States? Run, pass, or kick?
I'll definitely run with this one. So there's a bit of a funny wee story. In 2006, I was living in Australia. I had moved from New Zealand to Australia, and I was over there just working and playing rugby. And my mum had married, had moved over here. She'd remarried an American guy. He actually lived in Houston. And so they got married in 2002 and moved over. So in 2006, they had had a child, my sister. So in 2006, I actually came over to meet my sister. I'd never met her before. So I came over, we met, I was 19 at the time. And so at that point I was eligible to be sponsored for a green card visa through my mum and her marriage. So I had literally come over, wasn't planning on staying. And I kind of enjoyed it, met my sister, and I was like, okay, cool. I get green card and I can maybe make a life here. And the rest is history, sort of 15-ish years later now.
That's a great story, and it kind of leads well into my next question, because you might be one of the most well-traveled players in the league. I mean, you came to Houston, you spent some time in Denver, as we talked about off camera. You spent some time in Ohio with the Ohio Aviators, of course, down in New Orleans with the Gold, and back to Houston, and you've traveled in some other areas as well. So my question is this. Your rugby has taken you to about every corner of the United States, with exception maybe the Northeast, but I think I saw a hint of that there too. So run, pass, or kick, what is the best rugby city that you've experienced in the United States?
Ooh, I'll run with this. That's a tough one, I think, because I think when I first arrived here 15 years ago, I thought rugby, you know, there wasn't a lot of rugby around at all. So in 15 years, which is a pretty small amount of time, rugby has grown significantly. I think in terms of most rugby sort of rugby mad city, I would probably say, based on my experience, I'll probably say Denver is the most rugby mad. Back when I was there, we had two or three Division I clubs, a Super League club. Obviously, you've got the Raptors and Rugby Town USA, but you've got so many youth clubs that are producing some really good athletes that have come out of that. You know, the Ben Pinkelmans and the Cody Malfies and those kind of players that are sort of coming out of that youth rugby in Denver. So I reckon Denver as a whole, as a broad answer would definitely be the one, I think.
I like that answer. Obviously, for sure, being a former Raptors fan myself.
Well, and Colorado just has always been a hub. I mean, right. I'm 50, and I know that when I first started playing, Colorado was a serious hub for rugby. I mean, it started with Aspen's Rugger Fest. I mean, that was almost like, you know, the mecca for anybody that's played rugby. If you haven't gone and done your bit in Rugger Fest, then you haven't really played rugby in the United States. I don't know how I could argue with you.
Played for Aspen one as well. Add that to the
So it's like a rite of passage to be able to do Ruggerfest, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's interesting that you say that, you know, and one of the rites of passages, I suppose, as a player for you right now is being handed the whistle. So, you know, you have the opportunity more recently. In fact, I think you're sporting some of the gear right now for youth rugby, right? So no wonder this popped up in your line of conversation. So with that in mind, we're going to focus on that for a moment, at least in that realm. And here lies the next question. It is pretty clear that when you hang up your boots, you'll be grabbing the coach's whistle. Is it your goal to eventually coach in the MLR, run, pass, or kick?
I'm going to run again.
Just run at everything, man.
I'll hit the gap, Ty. But I don't think I know 100%. Coaching is something that I want to do for sure. I've been around, been lucky enough to have been around a few good coaches and sort of listening into to how they operate. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the analytical side of the game a whole lot more than I used to now as I'm getting a little bit older. And actually really focusing on the analysis of yourself and the opposition, the referees. It's definitely something that I want to do once my playing career is over. I've had a few opportunities to do some coaching, obviously with our new Houston under-18s that have started, the Ohio Aviators and Bermuda at the 10s, yep. You know, and a few other teams at Rugby Town here and there. So coaching is definitely something that I want to do after I hang the boots. So
if I could just ask a follow-up, Taylor, if you know, I've coached in a lot of different sports, wrestling primarily and rugby. And it's one of those things where I always look to pick up from a head coach, if I'm an assistant, a little tidbit, a little slice of something that I can add to my philosophy. Is there, what is something that you picked up along the way? One piece, one bit that you're going to definitely put into your coaching philosophy when you get your opportunity to be a head coach, perhaps in a major league team?
That's a really good question, Rob. I don't know if I could answer it right off the top of my head now, but I think the most important part for me about rugby, and I don't know if I've learned this from a coach maybe or something that I've just developed on my own as time has gone on, but it does sort of sit at the forefront of many coaches that I've played with before or played for and coached with, but it's the art of enjoyment and making sure that you're having fun with the sport, because you know you, when you're in the MLR, you're not playing rugby because you have to. You're playing rugby because you want to, and then the bonus is that you get to do it professionally. So for me, it's making sure that there's definitely some enjoyment around the playing group that I'm coaching or even playing with, and making sure that you know, while everything is you know, you've got to make sure that you're ticking your boxes and you're doing all the right things, but you've got to have fun with it, you've got to enjoy it. So that's something that I'm definitely right. going to use.
Passion is a powerful fuel, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, 100% tight.
And obviously you work with a lot of young players, so that's particularly important, is making it something that's fun and enjoyable and something they want to come back to practice after practice. And speaking of practice or coaching, we're going to take that just a little bit further. You already have a strong coaching resume, having coached, as you talked about, the Ohio Aviators. You coached the NOLA Sevens team. You coached Tiger Rugby. And as we've talked about, you're a director of NOLA Gold Rugby Academy, and now you're with the Houston's youth programs. Run, pass, or kick, what is one thing that the USA rugby community can do to raise the standard of rugby in the United States?
Can I kick that one?
You can do anything you want.
I'll kick it to Ty.
There we go. That's what I like
felt to that hear. One coming my way. I was getting ready in position, like, oh shit, here it comes. okay, so
just don't knock it on.
One thing is tough to be able to define, right? I mean, because it's going to be a culmination of all these things. But I guess it's just getting as many kids in playing the game, getting used to holding a rugby ball, getting people involved. Grow the community at a grassroots, right? I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, it's hard for me to define one thing. I mean, we've had entire episodes about this conversation that I now need to boil into a 30-second response. But it's really just getting as many young kids involved as possible and as many people exposed to the game. And that means the parents and the kids as well.
Great. Can I add one thing to it?
Yeah, but I only had one thing, so you're cheating.
I also think that rugby being made accessible to watch, right, without being behind a paywall, is.
Yeah, I mean, the Rugby Network, 100%. I mean, we honestly had this conversation when it was first spoken about, or at least the concept was being revealed that, hey, there's going to be a Rugby Network. We're moving away onto our own platform for Major League Rugby. And we're like, oh, man, geez, is this going to be another paywall? So kudos to where rugby is in America and obviously Major League Rugby being a driving force that to make it accessible to everybody. 100% right. I like that. I'll give you that extra point. All along.
And there's nothing and there's nothing worse than thinking about as an American rugby fan that this this summer and this fall is we're going to see the Eagles return to international play, that we're going to have to pay to see it, right?
How many subscriptions do I have right now?
You know, and it's not just, you know, I'll pay $5 to belong for the month or $10 even, but I think Flow Rugby, for the quality of coverage and the cost, is it isn't worth the value in a sense.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know what I mean? And just from my experience growing up, New Zealand, obviously rugby's prevalent sport there, but it's just on, constantly on the TV. So you flip it on and you see something that you like, and as a youngster, that's what you want to try and emulate. Whereas you're there and it's football, baseball, basketball, and you're a youngster and you see that.
I suppose if I was boiling it down again to one thing, it's to finally refer to rugby no longer as a niche sport.
Right, yeah. You know? I got it. This brings it to mind. I'm sorry. I got to tell a story. I don't know if I've ever said this, but when I was playing.
Hi, welcome to the Rob Hammerschmidt Show.
That's right. Well, it's about time everybody figured that out. I had a friend of mine, a Kiwi, Graham, and Graham's dad used to send us tapes, right? VHS tapes from New Zealand of the All Blacks and of you know, some of the other counties teams. And that's what we used to watch after training. So on Thursday night, training would finish. We'd go to the clubhouse and we'd pop a VHS tape in, and it was like 3 months old. But it was rugby, damn it. So we were happy. So
it's at a high level. So I get that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's good to see. It's good to see the Rugby Network is making it so accessible. So you have a great point there, Taylor.
So let me dive into the next question here, and I've got it lined up. So we're on to number six. So based upon the time that you've spent in both New Orleans and Houston, so this is where the question lies, how do the two fan bases compare between NOLA and Houston, run, pass, or kick?
Rob, this is made for you. I reckon I'm going to kick it over to you, mate.
Well, you know what I'm going to say, right? I mean, there's no fan base better than New Orleans. I mean, you got the second line trotting in with Benji at the lead. You've got fans dressed up in Mardi Gras gear during Mardi Gras season. They have their themes. I think this year they have had a really good time with some of the different teams and the themes going on. When the Gilgronis and Giltinis were there, they had special concoctions. They had gold teenies made up. And I think their fan base, they do a great shrimp boil. Before the game, that was awesome. And I think it was what I most enjoyed when I went to a recent game, as most of the fans that watch the show know, is after the game, the boys came out and said hello and spent the time just chilling out with fans. And that happens game after game, as the boys really enjoy the NOLA fan base and thank them, you know, and appreciate them showing up on a weekly basis. So I'm going to go with New Orleans.
I mean, I can't
supposed to rate him. It's just like, you're like the strong, silent type there. You're like, that's nice.
I guess you can't argue with the way that the New Orleans fans are. I mean, sport mad city, and they get behind the guys. The Houston fans are the same. You know, we obviously our results aren't, you know, aren't the way that we want them to be. And, you know, we've still got our fans that are still coming and showing up and supporting us no matter what. So that's something that's awesome.
And you have a pretty friggin' awesome stadium.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal for sure.
Right. So you're like the spoiled kids in rugby right now.
Yeah, spoiled, but we're not really getting all the treats, mate. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of jealous teams out there that wish they had that sort of facility, right? And if you bounce, you know, this conversation back to like rewind 15 years ago when you first started, you know, participating in rugby here in the US, did you think there would be facilities like that?
No. I mean, yeah. I played, you know, when I was here, I played for in Houston when I first arrived, I played for the Katy Rugby Club. in West Houston. And I was 19, but it was like a high school club. So I was a little bit too old, so I couldn't actually play. I could just train. But then I had to drive to the Woodlands from where I was living, which was about an hour. So that was crazy for me that, like, you had to drive an hour to play my club rugby, you know, and then getting, you know, you have to change on the side of the field and all of that kind of jazz. So
right.
15 years ago when I arrived in Houston to now what it's like in Houston, it's a complete 180. And, it's awesome to see. So, but there are clubs. I do want to say there are clubs around the country that have really, really good facilities, good humble facilities that really sort of embody the grassroots type of game, like San Francisco Golden Gate and the Pittsburgh Harlequins Field. You know, they've got clubhouses, they've got jerseys hung up on the wall, they've got, you know, the mums working behind
right.
the...
You could be walking house. Into a clubhouse in Auckland and it would be the same feel, right? In that embodies that spirit, you're saying.
I think most clubs need to get a little bit of throughout the
sport. Yeah, it's kind of funny you talk about that. Like when I first started playing, I played for the Chicago Blaze. We were one of, I think, three clubs that had full out facilities that we owned and controlled with a clubhouse in the country. And now that's expanded. I mean, Charlotte has a great clubhouse. I think Wisconsin up there in Madison just built a phenomenal facility. If you ever get to the Midwest, you got to check out those, both the Blaze and Madison, because they are tremendous facilities. So it's really interesting to say that. I think that shows a little something about the strength of rugby in the United States as it's growing. But let's, you know, continue to talk a little bit on your side of things. We were talking about NOLA earlier. So just real quick for our NOLA fans, run, pass, or kick. What did you enjoy most about your time at NOLA?
Sorry, did you ask me what did I enjoy most?
Yeah, about your time at NOLA.
I guess it's like any. I'll run with it. I guess it's like any other sort of routine that I've played. You know, about making connections with the boys, and that's a, you know, something that's a pretty major thing for me is connection with the guys. So I think that's probably the thing I've enjoyed the most, is that, you know, it was an enjoyable group to be a part of. And can you guys hear me?
We can hear you just fine, and you just keep powering through, buddy. We got you on the side.
Yeah,
okay, sorry,
we're good.
You're all good, mate. You're all good. You're like, hello, is anybody there? Hello. But it's all good. You know, we like to be able to give you the opportunity to be able to just share whatever's on your mind. But, you know, one of the things that we have lined up over here, before we go into the quick tap, I have the opportunity to deliver the next question. So we like to be able to talk not only about your experiences as a rugby player, but also being an ambassador for the sport. But you're obviously so keen on being able to develop the youth around the sport as well. So you have your own family. You got a young boy. And I believe this is, you know, William is his name. Is that right? You said?
That's right.
Okay, so here we go. 2019, Nick Feeks roomed with you, right? Did your son pick up any bad Australian habits from him?
lots of swear words.
Right.
Lots of swear words, leaving the front door open, not taking the rubbish out. Crumbs all over the couch.
I love how he's got a list already lined up in his head. You know, this is quite an extensive list. Most people kind of like pause for a moment. Oh, let me think. No, you got them locked and loaded, my friend.
Yeah, it was like I had two sons.
It sounds like the mongoose is somebody you don't want to room with when you go on a road trip.
Right.
So, no. Worst roommate ever. Nah, look.
Right, right. Yeah. So I was going to premise it, though. I'm like, earlier I had asked you who was your worst roommate when we were doing our pre-production meeting as a guest, right? So would your answer be Feeks?
Nah, my answer wouldn't be fixed. He was awesome to live with, actually. He's one of my good mates now, and you know, he's just like a full on rugby brain. So him and I always are just chatting rugby back and forth.
Right.
I speak to him pretty much every day. So he's a good roommate, and he was awesome around my son as well. So
and for just a little bit of a fun fact, Nick Feeks was, I believe, our first or second guest we ever number one on the Run Parcel Kick interview. He was the first guest we ever had. So his name is continuously coming back into the show for two reasons. One, he's just an awesome character. He's doing a lot of good work for rugby out there, especially in youth right now, as well as the on-field action. But more importantly, it's because you have the number one NOLA fan, Rob Hammerschmidt, here. So he's going to, you know, always highlight those guys and the good work they're doing, as a fan should, right?
Yeah, he's the reason I became a NOLA fan, to be honest with you, because he could, you know, you probably don't know this. I mean, you know, he came from LU, but my son was looking at going to school, and that was the first guy that he met, and Nick was willing to work with him right away. You know, here's this high school kid looking to go to college, and Nick picked him up and said, "Hey, I'll help you out, mate." So Nick has a special place for me, you know, because of what he's done for my son. So hats off to the Goose. We're going to go right in real quick and talk about something local here. Tighthead Brewing Company is Chicago's premier location to watch rugby and enjoy quality ales and lagers for all seasons. Located in Mundelein, Illinois, in the heart of Lake County, owner Bruce Duren, the Tighthead staff, will ensure you're kept well hydrated so you don't miss a single scrum. Tighthead's tap room is like the familiar rugby clubhouse in which friends and families can meet, socialize, and enjoy the action of every Major League Rugby derby that will electrify the 21-21 season. Head to Tighthead on Sunday, May 23rd at 1 p.m. to see Rooney play the Free Jacks. The watch parties will happen every week throughout the season up to the Major League Rugby final on August 1st. Hey, Chicago, when you want rugby, Tighthead Brewing Company will satisfy your thirst. Tighthead, it's worth more than a try. So now we're going to get into our quick tap. We're just going to give you two choices, and you just choose one, and you don't even have to explain if you don't want to. You can, of course, if you would like, expound on it in any way. So are you ready for the quick tap?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Better beer, Carback or Tui?
Oh, Tui.
Aren't you supposed to tell your sponsor?
Yeah. Only Love Street. Carback Love Street.
There you go. I was thinking about how I'd answer the question. I'm like, I used to drink Steinlager, and that, you know, it's a Kiwi beer, but it's not very good. So I had to find a much better brand of Kiwi beer. All right, better hat, bucket, or baseball?
Ooh, baseball, snapback.
Really?
Preferably retro.
I'm surprised. I thought after watching you at the Ohio or the Bermuda Tens that you were a bucket guy.
So, although I do have the
there we go.
I do have the bucket on me. I thought I just had this ready.
The evidence suggests otherwise, right, but now, Taylor.
I love my retro hats, boys. So. I got to go retro baseball.
Okay.
All right. What baseball team is it if you're going to put one on?
Oh, don't really have a favorite team, but probably if I was to support a team, I'd probably go for the Cleveland Indians.
Okay. All right. Still an Ohio man. Gotcha. All right. All right. Better rugby, sevens or 15s?
15s.
Okay. Better vacation, mountains or beach?
Ooh. Which mountains?
You choose, mate.
Man, oh, that's a hard one. I'd have to go.
I think you spent a lot of time in Colorado. I'm thinking mountains.
I love the mountains, but I mean, I also love the beach.
That's why you're from New Zealand, right? You got both. Yeah,
I gotta say beach. I do love the mountains, but beach takes the cake.
All right. Last one. You don't want to screw this one up. Ready? Better food, pulled pork or gumbo?
Oh, pulled pork.
Okay. I think all the Houston fans will let you come, let you stay in the city for a little while.
Right. Got to choose barbecue, right?
Gumbo, though. When I was in New Orleans and I had just arrived there, we were looking for gumbo. We were looking for like a really nice place to eat gumbo. And we were at this restaurant and there was an elderly guy sitting by himself at the table, and we had said, you know, we were looking for gumbo, and he was like, "You don't get gumbo at a restaurant in New Orleans. Why don't you come with me and I'll get you some gumbo, and I'll give you some of my own gumbo that I made." And we sort of were like, oh, but weird. But Southern Hospitality, we accepted and went and had some homemade gumbo, and it was unbelievable. So, I mean, that was a pretty cool thing when I had first arrived to Nola, that it just the guy randomly said, hey, man, come on over and eat some gumbo. I got some homemade stuff. You'll love it.
Right. That's what they always say. If you want true local flavor, you got to get it from a local.
So, sounds a little like my experience with the sour mash there in Arkansas in the Ozarks, man. It's just like, if you want to get decent alcohol, you got to go with the homemade distillery.
Yeah.
So let's step away from the quick tap segment for a moment and back into our regular line of questioning with run, pass, or kick. Exactly. So we spoke briefly about how awesome Aviva Stadium really is, and you know how it's such a stark contrast from when you first started rugby to where rugby is now in terms of facilities. So with that in mind, there is quite a bit of diversity in the MLR playing facilities. Houston is among the top of them all. What makes Aviva such a great place to watch rugby, run, pass, or kick?
I'll run. I think the game day experience at Aviva is second to none. I mean, you know, we've always got one to two curtain raisers. We've got the youth, and then either an academy game or a high school game. We've got, you know, every week we're doing something for the community to, you know, in terms of like next week is military night. This past Saturday was Pride night. That's it. And we have axe throwing on at the stadium. We have kids games that they can do on the side. We have, you know, the tickets are cheap.
I love how you, when you put these things together, it's all about context, right? So you're like, so what makes it great? Well, we have kids everywhere, beer and axes.
Yeah. It's all followed by a rugby game. But I mean, it's just, right. It's family feel. It's
right.
It's the stadium itself is good. You know, I mean, it's not a huge stadium. So where it feels like
that energy is like all palpable around that, you know, that hub of activity, which is the field. And it's all just adding to the ambiance, the experience. You know, we were fortunate enough to be able to have JT on yet, the president to the Sabercats on a little while back. And he kind of echoed these very same things. And it starts with George Killebrew, who coined the phrase rugby-tainment, right? And it's just this overall package. I'm glad to be able to hear, as you say, you know, it's working very well in that vein down in Aviva Stadium in Houston.
Yeah, it is.
All right, speaking of the Houston Sabercats, you guys have had mixed results this season, 2-6 record up to this point. Up to the halfway point here. Yet you guys went toe-to-toe with league leaders, the LA Guitinis, just falling a little bit short. It was an impressive game, really enjoyable to watch. Run, pass, or kick, is this a reflection of the parity in the league or the Cats' struggles finding their continuity and consistency on the pitch?
Run with it. That was a game that we decided that we really needed to get up for. You know, they were league leaders, they're star-studded and all the rest of it. They kind of have got all the bells and whistles, you know, and the red carpet is laid out. So we kind of thought let's get in and let's be physical and let's try and bring the game to LA. That's what we did, you know, we had a game plan that we went into that game with, and we stuck to that game plan, and we really worked pretty hard at it. And unfortunately, you know, they are a good team, and they were able to exploit some areas that, you know, that they must have really used some analysis on, and saw where we maybe had some areas of weakness, and they were able to exploit those. So I reckon, you know, obviously they were knocked off last week by
Rooney,
you know what I mean? And so it just maybe kind of shows that, you know, they had a bit of a delay on their flight. They had to go and play on Jersey City and in that area with football lines and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe it was a little bit out of their comfort zone. But they're good. They're coached well. They seem to be you know, heading in the right direction. And for us, it was just it was a tough game, but we really tried to come as hard as we could. And
yeah, what was, if I may just jump in there, what was also so impressive is that at that time leading up into the game, unfortunately, there was some, I don't know how to put it lightly, but there was some dismal results before with 2-0 score lines, right? Mm-hmm. So it was almost like an unbelievable position to be in going in, because as the underdogs, you know, the expectation wasn't for anybody to be able to go in there and beat them. But yet, so surprisingly, and with this note of LA, we're going to stick on this theme just for a moment. And I have the next question lined up. So run, pass, or kick. Often the Cats played the control game using the excellent boot of Sam Windsor to kick for territory and when points are on offer. In the LA game, the team seemed to be a bit more bold when given the option. Was this a part of the game plan given the opponent? I mean, was this game plan designed for them?
Yeah, it was designed for them. It was, you know, as you said, we had two results, you know, back-to-back zeros.
Right.
Our backs were in a corner. So there was nowhere we could go except fight our way out. So we really looked at the way that we wanted to attack that game and the way that we wanted to play rugby. And it was a little bit different to the way that we did versus the Free Jacks and the Kilgronies. So we wanted to play a little bit more rugby, but also a little bit smarter. And, you know, and once you sort of get a, you know, once you get your nose in front, you start to feel and you start to get a little bit of momentum, you know, good things happen, bounce the ball goes your way. And that's what we felt like we were doing sort of halfway, 50, 60 minutes through that game. And then just sort of at the end there, we weren't able to kind of to finish it off.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a two-point difference in the end, I think.
In the end, I don't think it was a two-point difference. It was
one stage I know for the longest. I can't even remember the final scoreline now, but it was competitive to the end.
Yeah, it was competitive to the end. And we got in front and we were leading.
Right.
And then about 60, 65 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we... You know, we let in a try and then another try right off the back of that for them to get, I think it was two scores up. I think it might have been 12 points.
Right. So I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then we just kind of, that's when the steam fell out and, you know, we weren't able to get back in the game. So, look, credit to LA though, because they've been doing it well this entire season. They had one little upset and, you know, and then they backed it up against a good performance on the weekend in SoFi Stadium. So, I mean, good on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's, you know, we'll stick with the theme of on-the-pitch rugby real quick, but we're going to lighten the mood just a little bit. As of right now, the Dallas Jackals will compete in the 2022 season. Run, pass, or kick, should they be added to the Texas Cup competition?
I have my own thoughts on that. I'm going to pass that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, we've had entire episodes about this, so we've got our own thoughts too. We'll pass on that one too. but that gives me the opportunity to dive into the next question. We've got about two more lined up here. So I want you to start having in your mind, as we do with each of our guests, is just before we head out of this interview, we're going to give you the chance to be able to send a few shout outs, a special message for a cause or something important to you. But before then, let's go into the next question. Run, pass, or kick here, Taylor. In 2020, the league held its first college draft, the MLR draft, of course. Are there any players selected in the draft that have put their hand up for inclusion in the Eagles pool this summer, in your opinion? Run, pass, or kick?
Run. That's a good one. That's a good question. I like that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think two off the top of my head would be the most obvious two would be Connor Mooneyham and Andrew Guerra. I just saw the stat line for Andrew on
social media. Yeah,
80 minutes, 17 tackles or carries, maybe 12 tackles, 33 ruck arrivals.
Right, it just shows you the work rate of the guy.
Yeah, and that's unbelievable. And then Connor Mooneyham has, I mean, he's been pretty much on fire every single game. So. I don't even think he's had a bad game yet. So
I think he was actually player of the week a couple of weeks back in one of the rounds.
Yeah, I think those two,
sort of standouts for you. Yeah.
Yeah, they've stand out. They've solidified that they I was a little bit skeptical about the jump between collegiate level rugby into this level rugby. And it's still, I mean, it still is an incredible jump up, large jump up. But I think those two players have really risen to the level right. week in, week out, you know, not just a one and done, but consistent performances. So, yeah, those two. I would assume the two of them are in inclusion for the Eagles.
This is going to be a tough one to be able to choose because there's a lot of candidates that already should have, in my opinion, been in the mix. But obviously, you know, 2020 just kind of derailed all of that. So it's going to be interesting this year.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. So I've got the last question here. And I think we saved the best for last. This should be a pretty good one. Not going to put you under too much pressure, though. Run, pass, or kick. LA is running away with the top spot in the West. Meanwhile, no team seems to be commanding control of the East. So run, pass, or kick. Who will be the team to represent the East in the MLR final on August 1st, in your opinion?
I'll run because I love rugby questions and love chatting about it. But I think the East representative in the final will be Rooney. In my opinion, I think that they've got a pretty complete team. They like to. Dan Hollinshead has been
right.
Has been a really good general for the team. He's been, you know, and obviously his connection with Andy Ellis in the 9 and 10 there has been a good connection. They've just got some big game players, and they run the ball from everywhere. And they're not afraid to do it. They're a good side.
Yeah. You just made Scott Ferrara in the background, who, of course, is like the number one Rooney supporter, very, very pleased to hear that. You are now on his Christmas card list. Congratulations.
Yeah. I think he's got a headache from Sprout and Wood, man. So
just made a new bestie. Yeah. But I can see why you might feel that way. You know,
I of course disagree about this.
You would agree?
I would disagree, of course.
Oh yeah, of course. I was like, yeah. I mean, you gotta be the NOLA guy, right? But for me being objective, I can see how at a glance, other people would definitely agree with you because they are the ones to be able to take down the Giltinis, right? So we hope to be able to see that happen a few more times just to kind of throw a spanner in the works. But by far, the East is a lot more competitive. And I think it's only 5 points that separate the teams between the top and the bottom. So, you know, it's hard to tell. But Rainey's your pick. So we'll see, right?
We will see.
So, Taylor, with the opportunity at hand, we've made our way through the questions. We wanted to be able to hear from you. Who do you want to be able to send a shout out to, a message you want to be able to send out there for the world to hear? Here is your opportunity, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me on. It's been fun. I just want to send a shout out to, first and foremost, my son, William, who's enjoying the beach on vacation in Florida at the moment. I also want to shout out to all the SaberCat under 18 players that got selected for the first ever SaberCat under 18s series versus Gilgronis. Two games versus the Gilgronis and one game versus Panther Rugby Academy. So a shout out to those guys, and I'm really excited to begin our first training session on Wednesday. And then I'd like to shout out to all the fans, the rugby fans that are, you know, old and new, that are watching the sport, learning the sport, wanting to get involved and wanting to help out within the community. I think a lot of those type of people don't get the recognition that they deserve. So anybody that's out there in the community that's doing that's coaching, admin, reffing, supporting, buying merch, all of that stuff. I just want to shout out to you guys because without you guys, you know, we will, you know, the game won't grow as quickly as we would like it to. So thank you guys very much, and thank you to the fans and everybody that's involved in rugby, not just the players, coaches.
Can I just say that might be the best shout out we've had yet? Not to disrespect everybody else, but man, you hit the cycle on that one, right? You hit your family, you hit the rugby community as a whole, you hit your boys that you coach. I mean, that was awesome, man.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was the Academy Award of of the shout outs on the show. And it was. And it shows you how many different partners there are in growing rugby, right? And it starts at home with our family supporting a dream, right? And helping you to be able to pursue this. And then, of course, ends with the fans who attend the games. And, of course, fans who watch us here on the Rugby Rant to be able to share the message with them. And our mission alone is also to be able to help rugby grow one fan at a time. And if you enjoy what we do, you can continue to get more great content from the team here at the Rugby Rant by liking, following us on social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and including TikTok under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod, where you can also find our new rugby debate episodes available weekly on the Rugby Net. Network.com, where you can also download that on the new Roku TV app. And you can find us weekly being updated every Friday, making sure that you get the latest debate chosen by you as the fans of the Rugby Rant. And that will be each and every Friday a new upload. But in the meantime, myself and the gang, on behalf of the Rugby Rant team, my name is Ty Braga. I've been your host for today's Run, Pass, or Kick interview with Taylor Howden alongside Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And on behalf of Scott Ferrara, who produces this show, and our sponsors at therugbyshop.com, Shop MLR, Tighthead Brewing, we thank you very much for watching this episode of the Run, Pass, or Kick, and we will see you at the next.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.